Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
You might remember that last week on this programme we discussed the political aspects of the Mercosur trade deal. This is the deal which looks to allow up to 99,000 tonnes of South American beef access to the EU market at a lower tariff rate. Now, if the agreement is ratified, it would also create a free trade area between Mercosur countries such as Argentina and Brazil and all EU member states. And that gives European companies access to millions of new customers. Ireland is currently opposed to the deal, but there's an EU delegation due here in the new year to try and sell it. Could our government be swayed? Well, to discuss the pros and cons of Mercosur, I'm joined now by IFA President and Vice President of COPA, which is the Committee of Professional Agricultural Organisations, Francie Gorman. And Olaf Gill is with us on the line, spokesperson for the EU on trade and financial services. And you're both welcome. Thank you for being with us on the programme. Olaf, I'll begin with you because you've heard, I know, the farmers' fears here around all of this. They say that the market, the EU market, will be flooded with cheap Brazilian beef and beef from other South American countries too. Are they right?
Many thanks, Claire. So let me start by just giving the overall context of what's happening here. This is a milestone agreement between two of the world's largest trading blocs. This is an opportunity to deepen our political and economic ties with a trusted partner. It's the most comprehensive trade agreement negotiated to date by the Mercosur region. This is a huge opportunity for the EU to boost the competitiveness of our EU services and goods. It'll generate new opportunities for exports for our companies, including Irish companies. It will strengthen our economic security and, crucially, to answer your question, it will do all this while ensuring that our agricultural sensitivities are fully respected. We negotiated very, very carefully and hard to ensure that for our sensitive sectors, such as beef, there would be a carefully calibrated quota. That means that no more than somewhere between 1.5 to 2% of total EU consumption would be allowed for exports of Mercosur beef.
So why then, Olaf, is Ireland opposed to it? And we know that France, Poland, Belgium and Italy, they're all either outright against it or they have severe reservations. Why, if it's such good news?
Well, we believe that we have achieved a very balanced and a very good agreement for the EU. And we're now going to have that precise debate with our member states to try and show them that this benefits many sectors of our economy and that in those sectors of our economy, notably the agricultural sector, where there are certain sensitivities, we made sure that there would be no adverse impact on our market and that our farmers would be fully protected.
So you think that 99,000 tonnes of South American beef coming into the EU market at lower tariff rates won't affect farmers here?
I think that we have negotiated a deal to make sure that, so I mentioned that the maximum that the market share that the Mercosur countries will gain is around 1.6% of total EU consumption. That is phased in over 7 years. In the event that there's any market disturbance that unduly affects our farmers, we have safeguards in place to reintroduce tariffs. And even allowing for that, should that happen, and should a worst-case scenario occur, the President of the European Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, has committed to putting in place an agricultural reserve that would mean that there's an insurance policy there for our farmers, that there's money they can access should they need it. But okay, we don't believe it'll ever get to that stage for the many reasons I mentioned.
Okay, well, Francie, you heard the man there. So he says it's 1.5 to 2% over 7 years, and it can be pulled back if it starts to affect you guys.
Yeah, I suppose, Claire, look, good morning, and it's good to be here, and good morning, Olaf. To be clear, there is no vote taken at this deal yet, and it has huge ramifications for beef and poultry farmers in this country in particular, sugar beet farmers around Europe. Our issue with it is, and we're not anti-trade, we're pro-trade, and over the years we've been shown to be pro-European, so we get it from that point of view. It's about standards. And the European agency that deals with health and safety and food issues commissioned a report that was done in May. It reported on the 16th of October, and they showed no confidence in the agencies in Brazil to be able to verify the standards to which this beef, poultry is produced or where it comes
from. You're not telling me, though, that if there were the proper standards in South America, that you'd welcome the beef and the poultry? Like, that doesn't make sense from an economic point of view, because you're representing the farmers.
To be clear, we're pro-trade, and we back ourselves as farmers, whether it's here or in Europe, to be able to compete with anybody else on a level playing field. But we, to be clear, we don't use hormones in this country. We have different animal welfare standards to which we have to adhere to. Farmers are sick to the teeth over the last 10 to 15 years. I've been told how to farm, what to do. Even people in small business, and I've met plenty of them since I took over this role, taxi drivers in Dublin, people in delis, they're sick of being regulated, out of business. And yet, we have our own commissioner prepared to run over to Uruguay and agree a deal. I mean, we didn't even know she was going. It was done in the dark
this
of night.
This was last week.
She arrived over there to seal a deal. Mm-hmm. Olaf says from a strong negotiating position, that's not how you negotiate in a strong manner.
Okay.
You wouldn't send somebody if Mount Rathmart was open to go and buy cattle for you on that basis.
Olaf, on that point about the beef standards coming in, I mean, Francie's contention is that the checks just aren't robust enough to make sure that this beef coming in is at the same standard of the products that we already have here in the EU and the ones that Francie and the farmers in the IFA have to adhere to.
Well, just to be very clear, Claire, and thanks for your points, Francie. It's good to have these debates. So just to be completely clear, any food or drink product that enters the European Union has to adhere to the same health and safety standards as the food that's produced here. That's non-negotiable, and that's certainly not going to change because of this Mercosur agreement.
But who's checking now, it, Olaf? Who's checking it?
Well, we have very strict audit and control systems in place. And to give you an example, there was a case recently where those precise audit and control systems identified that there was a certain a beef product in Brazil that was being treated with hormones that are banned in the EU. We identified the problem. We flagged it with Brazil. Brazil stopped those imports and is now taking action. So that shows to me that the system works.
It also shows that farmers there use these things, you know?
Well, there's no evidence, Claire, of a single product of the type we're talking about on the EU market. So we have to have these negotiations and we have to have these debates on facts, not on hearsay. I want to make a very quick point, if I may, about the EU trade as it relates to the agri-food sector. Now, Francie mentioned that he's pro-trade. That's fantastic. And we're certainly pro-trade. The EU exports, when it comes to agri-food products, reached a total surplus of 70 billion in 2023. Ireland recorded an agri-food trade surplus of more than 5 billion in 2023. So let's look at the facts. When the EU negotiates trade agreements, we make very, very strong attempts and we succeed in ensuring that our agricultural sensitivities are respected and that we open new market opportunities for our farmers. So, for example, only in the last couple of years, we've reopened the very important and potentially lucrative Korean and Chinese market for Irish beef. So, you know, we need to stick to the facts when we have this debate.
Mm-hmm. So are you saying that Francie and the farmers in Ireland shouldn't worry about this Mercosur deal?
I'm saying that the farmers in Ireland, the farming families in Ireland don't need to worry. And if any of the worst case scenarios I mentioned come to pass, we have safeguards in place. We have a pot of money in place to support them. But we firmly believe it won't come to that for the reasons I have mentioned.
Francie?
Yeah, just to be clear, DG Health and Safety reported on the 16th of October, Olaf's own agency, Ursula von der Leyen's own agency, that they didn't have confidence in the agencies in Brazil to be able to verify the standards to which this food, beef, poultry is produced. Now, the issue of hormones, it may be hormone-free if it comes in, but it's produced from animals that are on hormones, and what happens then is they go into an intensive finishing period where they're finished without hormones. But our issue comes back to standards and level playing fields. We're not able to use those here in Europe. We're regulated out of having access to those products. And on the issue of trade, I think we can wear it as a badge of honour that we have a 5 billion trade surplus in agriculture, that Europe has a 70 billion trade surplus in agriculture, because we produce our food and to a standard that's world class, mm-hmm. world leading. And that's why we get into those markets.
But he's saying to you, Francie, that if this goes wrong and your worst fears are realised, they'll pull back. And they also have a compensation fund there for farmers.
Listen, Claire, when you shake hands in a deal, and farmers understand what that means, and most Irish people still deal with the shake hands. If you shake hands in the deal, it's a done deal. When this deal is inked, we're not going back. And that's the issue. Mm-hmm. And the compensation fund that they spoke about is not there. There was a billion put forward in 2019, which would be totally insufficient today for market disruption. It's very, very hard to prove whether the price of beef would
have... You don't trust Olaf on what he just said.
I don't. I take my lead from the agencies in Europe who said that they have no trust in the agencies in Brazil to be able to verify this beef. And I don't believe...
But it's more than that. You're saying you don't trust Olaf when he says that they will pull back from this if you're impacted, if farmers are impacted, and that you'll be properly compensated.
To be clear, by the time this deal is rolled out, Olaf and Ursula von der Leyen will probably be sitting on the board of some big multinational or some bank. They won't have to implement this deal. It's farmers who are underground who are going to be there in 5, 10, 15 years' time that will have to wear this. And farming shouldn't be a bargaining chip for big business. We want to be treated fairly.
Okay.
Ursula von der Leyen should be a president of the European Commission for everybody in Europe and not just big business. Mm-hmm. And I sit on the board of COPA as a vice president that represents 22 million farmers. We have 70,000 members here. The DBV, the biggest farm organisation in Germany, are totally against this. And there's unanimity among farmers, environmentalists and consumers that this is bad. And if
you raise a really important point about Germany, because when you look, Olaf, at who's going to benefit from this, it really is for the big industrial companies, countries. I was looking at a chart last night which showed just how much Germany will benefit from this when it comes to exporting goods and services to the Mercosur countries. This is really about the big players in the EU, isn't it?
Not at all, Claire. This is a deal that will open huge commercial opportunities for exporting companies of all sizes in the EU. We've talked a lot about farmer families. Let's talk about pharma families. Ireland will gain enormous opportunities to export pharma products, med tech, financial services. And so there's really interesting commercial opportunities that will benefit the European economy and the Irish economy. Mm-hmm. And I really do have to insist on the fact that when we're talking about food products entering the EU, they have to meet the same high health and safety standards as our own food products. So our consumers can be assured. And I think our consumers are smart and well-informed enough to make decisions about the provenance of their food, provided they know it's safe and of sufficient quality.
A listener asks, Olaf, will the beef be marked on the package as Brazilian, if that's where it's from?
Yes, of course. And furthermore, I could add that just this week, in fact, the Commission announced a $132 million programme for promoting European agri-food products at home and abroad for the coming year.
Okay.
So our farming companies will have excellent opportunities to highlight how strong they are and keep them competitive.
Francie, you wanted to come back in there?
Yeah, just to be clear, we're all for trade and it's great if farmer benefits, that's fine. But farmers shouldn't be a bargaining chip in this. And I'm delighted to see that the EU have put $132 million towards marketing EU beef. Why do we need to bring in South American beef if we're going to do that? Europe is a mature market, it's supplied by beef, and if you bring in beef that's produced to a much lower standard, at a much lower cost, it's going to lower the value of the European beef market. And all this talk about the strategic dialogue that Ursula von der Leyen committed and the vision for agriculture in the future will be blown out of the water if this beef comes in and undermines the viability of our family farms.
Listen, we'll have
just
to leave.
Just to be very clear, Chair, I must
last point,
insist on jumping in here, if I may. Can I just jump in for a second,
go
Claire?
Ahead.
Just to be clear, South American beef in certain numbers is already on the EU market. What this deal does is give them a slightly larger market share according to the very strict conditions that I already mentioned that we believe won't have any adverse market on our farmers.
It turns the cup that's full into a cup that's overflowing. And that is going to decimate our European beef market and our dairy industry as well, because you don't have a dairy industry if you don't have somebody to produce those calves from the dairy industry in beef farm.
Listen, we're going to leave
Francie,
it there.
Let's stick to the facts.
Okay.
Can we please stick to the facts?
Yep.
No one's talking about decimating anything. When the EU-Canada agreement was agreed around 7 or 8 years ago, we heard the same thing, that it was going to decimate our beef sector. In fact, the reverse happened. No increase in market share from Canadian imports or exports into the EU happened. And in fact, we increased our agri-food exports to Canada.
And there's one,
so we
there's,
always make sure
there's
that
one
our farmers
fine.
Are well looked after. We always make sure that our farmers have the best possible opportunities that, and we protect our sensitive sector.
That is,
in
not,
all our
that is not the case, Olaf, because there was a sustainability charter built into previous EU trade deals, and there's none built into this. And that's why we are worried. It's the devil in the detail about this. And at the end of the day, it's farmers will carry the cost of
but
it.
But the deal is done, Francie.
The deal is not done. No vote has taken place in this yet. And I know from the opposition to this through COPA, through our 27 member states, every farm organisation is against this. Environmentalists are against this. The Consumer Association in Europe are against it. So we'll see.
All right, we'll leave it there. I know we're going to be talking about it again. Olaf Gill from the EU and Francie Gorman from the IFA. Thank you both. We'll take a break.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.